Bobby Seat Mayors present the first of the Burton Trent series, A Long Shot. Come in, mate. Come in.
Morning, Burton. Morning. You know I was your caller.
My dear chap, who wouldn't recognize the authoritative manner in which you banged on my door? You've been in the country, I see.
Who told you?
Well, one doesn't have to be very observant to note that you only wear that tweed when visiting the country. You wouldn't go hiking in a fine grey mixture such as I'm wearing. If you asked me what part, I'd make a wild guess and say Oxfordshire.
Not a bad guess either. What makes you think of Oxfordshire?
No, just that mud stain on your shoes. It's not unlike the red soil of that country. Well, out with it. What's on your mind?
Who said I had anything on my mind?
Oh, Matt, you're fidgeting. And when you fidget...
All right, Burton, I am worried. I ran into the darndest case this morning.
Huh? What kind of case?
Murder.
Murder, eh?
Aye, a man named Oliver Deans. Do you know the name?
No, can't say I do.
Well, it seems he was a sort of a semi-invalid. He was sitting in a bath chair out in the open, and there wasn't a soul in sight except one of the servants, a girl. And no one could get within 300 yards of him without being seen. He was shot through the back, and there's not a blessed scrap of evidence. Man, I'm puzzled.
Did you find the bullet, mate?
Ah.
Tell me what you know about this Oliver Dean.
Well, he was the usual rich man's son type. Went the pace for years, but no scandal of any consequence. He married and settled down a year ago. He was 45 and his wife was 30.
Any entanglements there?
No. She seems to be the quiet, reserved type of gentlewoman. There's not a breath of scandal in that quarter, as far as I know.
And the servants?
An old fellow named Ames looked after him. He seems more upset than anyone else over the business. The other servants are the usual country house domestic. Both Mistress Deans and old Ames vouch for them. They were all in the house at the time of the murder anyway, except the maid I mentioned and Mistress Deans.
Well, where was Mrs. Deans?
She was in the village a mile away.
Mm-hmm. Have you got that bullet with you?
Aye. Here it is.
A 303. High power rifle. Anyone in the district known to have such a rifle?
Not that I know of.
Better make inquiries, Matt. Have any strangers been seen in the village lately?
No. It's a quiet little dump right off the beaten track. And strangers are a bit of a novelty, so it should be a member.
What was the time of the murder?
It took place between 4:30 and 4:40 yesterday afternoon. Now, Ames took him his tea at 4:30 exactly. He was back at 4:40 and found him dead. That's all we know. And it's pretty slim evidence to build a case on, if you ask me.
Well, we have the bullet, Mac. Murderers have been caught unless...
That's so. Still, not being a super crime detective, I'd appreciate something more to work on. Now, what do you advise, Burton?
Well, I'd like to go and look over the ground with you. And I'd like to cross-examine Mrs. Deans, the servants, and anyone else likely to be able to throw some light on the affair.
The lodge gates are about 50 yards ahead. We turn in there. Here we are, Thornbury Manor. Aye, and there's Ames himself. Aye, Ames, is your mistress at home?
Yes, sir. Will you please come in? I'll tell her you're here.
Aye, thank you. And come back yourself, Ames. Mr. Trent wants to ask you a few questions. Bring the maid, too.
Very good, sir.
Burton, you can see the spot where Ames was sitting. From this window, his bath chair was placed at the end of that stone table, just beyond the rose garden.
How far is that from here, man?
That's 540 feet. The maid, Jane, was the only person outside the house. She was in the rose garden cleaning away some garden chairs. So she was nearly 500 feet away when the master was shot.
Mr. Finley, Mr. Trent?
Aye, Mr. Steams. This is Mr. Burton Trent. He's also working on the case.
Oh, yes? How do you do, Mr. Trent?
How do you do, Mrs. Deans? Sorry to intrude like this, but you'll understand we must leave no stone unturned in trying to uncover the mystery of your husband's death.
Yes, I understand, of course. I shall be only too glad if I can help. But I'm afraid I know nothing beyond what I've already told, Mr. Quinn.
Thank you, Mrs. Deans. Tell me, how long were you married to Mr. Deans?
14 months.
Had you known him long?
About 5 years.
Do you know of anyone who bore him any ill will?
No. Certainly not to the extent of murdering him. He wasn't popular. He drank too much. At times he could be very objectionable. But I know no one who could be called his enemy.
Mrs. Deans, do you know of anything, any incident in his life before you met him that might have some bearing on his death?
I've heard unpleasant rumors. Nothing I would connect with this affair.
Rumors?
Well, just in reference to his loose way of living. Nothing more.
I see. And he never gave any hint that he was in fear of anyone, that he might be in danger?
Never. With the exception of an occasional motor drive, he hadn't left the ground for months. His health has been bad, and he spent most of his time in the bath chair.
So you haven't any idea at all of anyone who bore him ill will or who would profit by his death?
No, I haven't.
Mr. Deans was a wealthy man, was he not?
Yes, he was.
And who will inherit his property?
His will hasn't been read yet, but I understand most of it will come to me.
Where were you at the time of the shooting, Mrs. Deans?
I was in the village. I was to post some letters. That was at 4 o'clock. When I heard of the about my husband, I returned home immediately.
You were at the post office at 4 o'clock. Your husband was murdered between 4:30 and 4:40. Where were you between 4 and 4:40?
I was having tea in the village at a little tea room there.
Alone?
No, I wasn't alone. I was with Major Garrett.
Who's Major Garrett? You didn't tell me about him.
He's a neighbor.
A friend of your late husband's?
No, they were not acquainted.
I see, not acquainted, eh? And this Major Garrett, was he with you all the time between 4 and 4:40?
Yes, he was. Except for a few minutes when he went to make a telephone call. The telephone was in the next room of the tea room.
So you could hear him talking?
Yes, I could hear him talking.
Do you know who he was talking to?
Really, Mr. Craig,
I'm sorry, Mr. Deans, but it's our duty to inquire into every detail.
If you think Major Garrett had anything to do with the shooting, it's ridiculous. He was with me at the time.
No, we're not doubting you, Mrs. Deans. But please realize that Mr. Craig must ask questions, even if they may seem to you to have no bearing on the case.
Very well, then. Major Garrett did not speak to anyone. He couldn't get an answer to his ring.
Just one more question. Mr. Deans, were you in love with your husband?
Mr. Craig, I consider that an impertinent question.
All the same, I want to know.
Very well, then. I was never in love with him. I liked him extremely for a time.
Are you in love with Major Garrett?
No. Are you trying to build up a case, Mr. Craig? I think your questions are disgusting. I shall refuse to answer any more without my lawyer's advice.
That is your privilege, of course, Mrs. Deans. And thank you for what you told us. Will you tell Ames we'd like to see him and the maid who took out the tea, please?
Certainly.
Oh. Looks like something between those two. All the same, Burton. I don't see how the gallant major could have done the shooting. He was with her a mile away. No, that's too good an alibi to bust up. Oh, come in. Yes. Well, you come in too, Jane.
Oh, Mac, I'd like to see the spot where Mr. Deans was sitting. Shall we go? And, Jane, will you bring the bath chair?
Yes, sir. I'll get it at once.
Thank you. Well, come along, Ames. Now, Ames, tell me, how long have you known Mr. Deans?
Well, I've known him all his life, sir. I've always been in the family service.
Hmm. What sort of a master would you say the late Mr. Oliver Deans was?
Well, sir, he was not exactly easy to get on with. Especially lately. He was rather given to imbibing somewhat freely, sir. And, well, such people are not the best to get along with.
No, they're not as a rule. How did he and your mistress get along?
Do you mean did they have disturbances? Oh, no, sir. They never did. I can't say there appeared to be any great affection between them. They kind of tolerated one another, if you know what I mean, sir.
Yes, I think I know what you mean, Ames. Was your late master anything of a sportsman?
No, sir. He took no interest in any kind of sport.
Did he have any guns?
Oh, dear, no, sir. He hated the things. Never had one inside the place.
Ames, do you know anyone? Anyone at all who might have a grudge against him?
No, sir, I don't.
So you can't think of anyone who might have wished him out of the way?
No, sir.
This is the spot, Burton. Now, the chair was wheeled up against this stone table.
He always sat here, sir, so that he could reach anything on the table.
Did he come here often?
Oh, yes, sir. Every afternoon, regularly, if the weather was fine. He liked the view.
Yes, it is a very pleasant view. Not a house to be seen in any direction. Oh, but there is a house. You see it, Mac?
Yes, just the top part over those small trees.
How far away would you judge it to be?
Oh, that must be 600 or 700 yards.
Who lives there, Ames?
Oh, that's Major Garrett's house, sir.
So that's where he lives. Quite handy to call here. Did he come here very often?
Major Garrett? Oh, no, sir, he never called here.
Tell me, Ames, when did you last see your master alive?
At 4:30 yesterday afternoon, sir. He always had his tea promptly at that time. If the weather was fine, he would have it out here. Yesterday was a specially fine day. Sunny and not a breath of wind.
Did you bring him his tea?
No, sir. Jane, the maid, brought it. I was present.
And that was the last time you saw him alive?
Yes, sir. He sent me into the house for a cigar and some papers. It took me a few minutes to find him. And when I got back, he was dead, slumped right over on the table.
All right, Ames, that's all I want to know now. Jane, tell me about the last time you saw your master.
Well, sir, I brought him his tea at 4:30 yesterday.
Did he seem all right?
Oh, yes, sir. He was quite all right.
That's pretty good. Did he say anything?
Not to me, sir. He told Mr. Ames to get him a cigar and some papers.
And what did you do after bringing the tea?
Oh, I went back to the house. That is, I didn't go into the house. I had some clearing up to do, garden chairs to put away.
So you were in sight of your master all the time?
Yes. In a way I was, except I had my back to him.
Was there anyone else about?
Not a soul, sir.
You didn't notice anything, eh?
Not till Mr. Ames went back to him and called me over. He was dead, then.
That was about 10 minutes after you had taken him his tea?
Yes.
Had he touched it?
Yes, he'd eaten some cake and his teacup was empty.
You didn't hear anything that sounded like a shot?
No, sir. Oh, I never heard a thing. Not a thing.
Oh, thank you, Jane. That's all. Well, Mac, unless there's anything further that you want to do, we might as well be going.
Okay, Burton. Looks as though we've been wasting our time, doesn't it? Well, where to now?
I think we'll make a call on Major Garrett.
Major Garrett? What good will that do? Oh, well, anything you say.
Major Garrett at home?
Major Garrett, sir? No, sir. He's out.
When do you expect him back?
Any time now, sir. Who'll I say call?
I'm McDonald Craig of Scotland Yard. This gentleman is Mr. Burton Trent. You'll come in and wait.
Scotland Yard, sir? Lovely.
Come in. Thank you. The Major seems to be something of a big game hunter, judging by his trophies.
Oh, he is, sir. Quite famous-like. Will you wait here, sir?
I'd like to use your telephone. I suppose you have one.
Telephone, sir? Yes, sir. It's upstairs in the master's study. This way.
Here it is.
Thanks. You, I take it, are Major Garrett's man?
Yes, sir. Name of Jackson.
Does the Major keep any other servants?
No, sir. I does everything for him.
Were you alone in the house yesterday afternoon?
I wasn't in the house yesterday afternoon. I went up to town to do some shopping. I caught the 2:15 up and got back soon after 7.
I see. As though there was nobody here at all, eh?
The Major was here. At least he was when I left.
All right. We'll wait for the Major here, Jackson.
Very good, sir. I'll tell him as soon as he comes in.
You know, Burton, I'll swear that I've bumped up against that man Jackson before.
What makes you think that, Mac?
I've got it, Burton. He's Cockney Joe, that's who he is. A pretty tough customer.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have a look round. Probably haven't much time.
Right. Oh. Oh, here's his coat. Oh, it's a grey mixture. Oh, just like the one you have on. Pocket torn. And here is his gun rack. Three 12-gauge shotguns. 32 Winchester. By Jove, yes. A 303 Webley Scott.
303, eh? That's what we're looking for. See if you can find any cartridges.
Yes. Oh, here we got a drawer full of them. Oh, they're mostly shells for shotguns. Ah, here's a box of 303s. It's full, too.
Full. Better count them, Mac.
Our gallant major seems to be interested in small game as well as elephants and things. What a funny looking rat trap he's got here.
Look at that. Queer arrangement. We'll inspect it again later.
There's 49 cartridges in this box.
One missing, eh? That's interesting. And the view from this window is interesting too, Mac. Notice it?
Yes, you can see that stone table the Deans was sitting at. As plain as the nose on your face.
Yes, it's not surprising, is it? This is the house we could see from that very spot, so why not? Yes. That's why I wanted to come here. Here's the Major. Put that box of cartridges back where you found it and light your pipe.
Okay.
You gentlemen wish to see me? I'm sorry I was out.
Oh, that's all right. Major Garrett, I'm MacDonald Craig of Scotland Yard. Now, this gentleman is Mr. Burton Trent, who is helping me in an investigation.
How do you do?
How do you do, Major?
And in what way can I be of assistance, Mr. Craig?
Well, you've heard about the unfortunate affair at the Dean's place.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
We are checking up on all the high-powered guns in the locality. Three, not threes, to be exact. And we thought that you might be able to help us.
I can, but only a little, I'm afraid. I own one myself.
Is it possible that someone might have borrowed it without your knowledge?
Possible, of course, but hardly probable.
Oh, here it is. You see, it's still well greased
and has certainly not been used lately.
Major, we'd like to borrow it for a day or so. I hope you don't mind.
Borrow it? I really don't see...
Someone might have used it without your knowledge, you know. Your man Jackson, for instance.
Jackson? Oh, absurd. Jackson was in town. He didn't get back here until after 7 o'clock.
Oh, I see. Another Stonewall alibi.
What do you mean to infer by that, Mr. Craig? My movements are perfectly well known. Yes, they are.
Oh, we know where you were, Major Garrett, and there's no need for you to get annoyed. Our job is to investigate, and that's exactly what we intend doing. So, with or without your permission, I'm going to take charge of this gun.
Very well, then. Take it. And a lot of good it will do you. If you have no more of your foolish questions to ask, I beg you'll excuse me.
Thank you, Major Garrett, for the information you've given us. I don't think we'll bother you further now. Come on, mate.
Okay, so, Major... Well, that's it. What next?
Now, first, get that gun and the bullet up to Ingleby, the ballistic expert. We must know if that is the gun that fired the shot.
Right, and I'll check up on Jackson's movements.
Good. Well, drop me off in the village. I'm making a few more inquiries there. As soon as you have Ingleby's report, meet me at the yard and bring the gun with you.
Okay, Burton. Well, Doctor, it looks like a dead end as far as Garrett is concerned.
But no luck, Mac.
No, Ingleby says the gun couldn't have possibly have fired that bullet. We're barking up the wrong tree, if you ask me.
I don't think so, Mac.
You don't?
No, in fact, I suggest that you get out a warrant for Major Garrett's arrest.
What? We can't do that. We haven't got a thing on him. He wasn't near the place when Deans was shot. Mistress Deans will swear to that. So will the girl at the tea shop. And the telephone girl remembers he's putting in a call at 4:46 from the tea room call box. She recognized his voice. And now Ingleby says his gun didn't fire the shot. Now how the devil can we arrest him for the murder? I'm inclined to think that that Jackson, alias Cockney Joe, had a finger in the pie.
All the same, we'll have the warrant just in case, eh, Mac?
Well, if you say so, but I can't see where we have a thing on.
Can't you? Have a little patience. Come along. Gentlemen?
I'm from Scotland Yard.
Oh, yes? We'd like you to have a look at this gun. Do you remember having seen it before?
Why, it looks uncommonly like one owned by Major Garrett. I'll look up the number if you'll wait a moment.
No, don't trouble. It is Major Garrett's gun. How did you recognize it?
Well, it's rather strange, but this is a gun we did some work on some time ago.
Oh, what kind of work?
We fitted a new barrel. The old one got rusted and the barrel became spotted. The Major wanted it changed.
I see. What happened to the old barrel? Did Major Garrett keep it?
Well, yes, he did. But it's quite a coincidence. We have it right here in the shop.
You have it here?
Yes, Major Garrett's man Jackson brought it in this morning. It's to be reamed. I'll get it.
No, we're getting somewhere, Burson.
Here it is.
Ah, nothing been done to it yet, I see.
No, sir.
Good, I'll take care of the barrel.
One more thing I want to know. Hasn't that gun an unusually delicate trigger adjustment? It seems to me that it has.
Yes, it has. That is another job we did. Personally, I think it's dangerously sensitive.
Have you sold Major Garrett any 303 cartridges lately?
I think he bought some about a month ago.
Mm. Well, that's all today, and thank you very much. Good day.
Good day, gentlemen.
Well, I'll be a Dutchman's uncle. Can you tie that?
Get that barrel over to Ingleby Mac. This time his report is going to be different, or I miss my guess. Then get the warrant and we'll run down and pick up the precious Major.
Okay, Burton. But I still don't see how he fired that gun.
Oh, Mr. Craig, I'm afraid Major Garrett won't be able to see you. He's engaged.
Oh, he'll see us all right. Come along, Watson.
Hey, but really, gentlemen.
Oh, you too, then. Well, what do you want now? I'm engaged, so please don't waste my time.
We won't. We just...
one moment, then. Major Garrett, a few more questions, please.
There's nothing I can add to what I've already told you. However, step in, please. This room.
Thanks.
Well, what do you want to know?
Are you worried by rats in this house?
Rats? No, of course not. What the blazes of rats in my house got to do with it?
Nothing. You tell us your man Jackson was away from here yesterday afternoon. He was in town, to be exact, and he didn't return until 7 or later. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Was there anyone else in the house, shall we say, between 4 and 5 o'clock?
No, there was not.
And at 4:30, you were having tea with Mrs. Dean?
I was.
Did you leave her during that time, say between 4:30 and the time you returned here?
No, I didn't.
Not even to telephone?
Well, now I come to think of it, I did put in a call.
To whom?
Well, what the devil's that got to do with you?
Oh, come on, Garrett. Who did you talk to on the phone?
I didn't speak to anyone.
You don't mean that there was no one at home to answer?
Look here, Mr. Burton Trent, or whatever your confounded name is. I am fed up with these fool questions. Oh, Cynthia, come in, will you? These two idiots seem to think I murdered your husband, judging by the childish questions they're expecting me to answer.
But hard, sir. You're with me.
Yes, we know that, Mrs. Deans. The point is corroborated by the waitress at the tea shop. But we are very interested to know why Major Garrett rang up his own house on the telephone, knowing perfectly well there was no one there to answer.
How the devil did you know I rang up my house? And how can that possibly connect me with the affair?
Major Garrett, you're under arrest for the murder of Oliver Dean.
Why, you blithering idiot, what the blazes...
Watch him back, don't let him get away.
Mr. Craig, this is an outrage.
Oh, I'll make you two fools pay dearly for this.
Perhaps you won't think it so outrageous when you hear what I have to say, Mrs. Deans.
I think you're making a most furious mistake.
Mrs. Deans, has Major Garrett paid you marked attention lately?
We've been friendly.
Exactly. You've been friendly with a man who was not an acquaintance of your husband.
Don't answer his fool question, Cynthia.
We are assuming that Major Garrett would have proposed marriage to you as soon as your husband was out of the way. And as you will inherit the bulk of your husband's estate, it is a possibility and would provide a motive for the shooting.
Even so, he couldn't possibly have done the shooting.
That's where you're wrong. He did do the shooting.
Oh, rot.
You see, Garrett, we've found the other barrel of that gun. Our ballistic expert states positively that it was the one used to fire that shot. And you fired the gun when you left Mrs. Deans to telephone your own house.
Oh, this is too fantastic.
Perhaps. Yet his method was really quite simple. You see, this gun had a particularly delicate trigger adjustment. A very small pressure would operate it. That pressure was applied when the spring from that rat trap was released.
So that was what the rat trap...
Yes, Mac. The lever of the trap was sprung by means of a small electromagnet wired to the telephone wires.
The current was supplied when he rang up his house.
I've got it.
The gun was set up in the room in the house, which accounts for the shot not being heard. It had been carefully sighted on the spot where he'd observed his victim sat every afternoon. The time was unimportant. All he needed was a fine day, free from wind. Wind, of course, would have affected the direction of the bullet. Yesterday was just the sort of day he needed, not a breath of wind. We have evidence to show that he rang up his own number yesterday afternoon at 4:46. And that, Mrs. Deems, was the time he murdered your husband.
Damn you! You'll never see me go to that town!
Please, please, please!
What you doing? What you doing? Hush!
Hush! He went clean through it. Well, I guess that'll be the end of him.
Yes, it is the end of him, Mac. His neck is broken.
Oh, well, I'm not sorry. It'll save the taxpayers an expensive trial. What's the difference? Justice has been done, anyway.
¶¶